grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Epistle for All Saints' Day, the third chapter of the first letter of St. John, the second through the fourth verse. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. As we celebrate this festival of All Saints, we remember those who have been called to Christ's nearer presence since last All Saints' Day. And so this morning we remember Queenie Hardaway, Helen Gray, Gregory Dixon, and Deborah Bell Dixon, Louis Otto Dixon, and Juliana Watson. We also remember Pastor Carl Crulley, who preached here on Family Day last year, and who was confirmed, married, and ordained to the Holy Ministry here in this church. In remembering them, we mourn our loss, but celebrate their gain. Remembering the words of St. Paul when imprisoned in Rome and possibly facing death, "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." But it's not unchristian to mourn the passing of those we love. And the greater the love, the greater the grief. As the late Queen Elizabeth said in connection with the catastrophic loss of life we refer to as 9/11. At that time, Queen Elizabeth said, "Grief is the price we pay for love. Grief is the price we pay for love." Whenever we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, we say, "I believe in the communion of saints, which is the whole church of Christ the risen Lord, both in heaven and on earth." Because the church is the mystical body of Christ, death itself cannot divide the church, because Christ is the risen Lord who, as St. Paul wrote to Timothy, has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. He is the Lord who said to Lazarus's grieving sister Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I believe in the communion of saints. In the New Testament scriptures, all believers in Christ are called saints. The original Greek word for saints literally means holy ones. So, I believe in the communion, the great fellowship of holy ones. So you and I and all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection are holy ones. And yet, when we look at ourselves, it's kind of hard to think of ourselves as holy. So we need to remember that when the holy writers call us Christians holy ones, they don't mean that we're actually holy in the sense of being sinless. What they mean is that we are forgiven, and that the filthy rags of our own unrighteousness are covered with the spotless robe of Jesus' blood and righteousness, which was put on us in baptism, as St. Paul says. As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, and as we heard in the lesson from the book of Revelation, read on this day, in which St. John writes that the saints, the holy ones in heaven, are those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There is also this: although we remain sinners throughout our earthly journey, the Holy Spirit is constantly at work in our hearts, conforming us more and more to the image of Christ. So St. John writes in the epistle read on this day, Beloved, we are God's children now, but it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope purifies himself, even as Christ is pure. And so all believers in Christ are holy ones. Holy in the sense that we are forgiven, and also holy in the sense that we are being transformed by the Holy Spirit. But very early in the church's history, there arose the custom of calling certain people saints, people in whom the light of Christ had burned brightly. And so we speak of the 12 apostles and the 4 evangelists and the holy martyrs as saints. We also speak of those great and faithful pastors and teachers of the church, people like Irenaeus, who knew Polycarp, who knew the Apostle John, Athanasius, Ambrose, Augustine, Cyril of Alexandria. Also the great missionaries like Patrick, who evangelized the Irish, Columba the Scots, Aidan, Cuthbert, Wilfrid, and Augustine of Canterbury, the English, Boniface, the Germans, Frumentius, the Ethiopians, Ansgar, the Scandinavians, Martin of Tours, for whom Luther was named, the French, Cyril and Methodius, the Slavic nations. And then there are women like St. Agnes, who was martyred for her faith in Christ when she was only 13 years old. And St. Augustine's mother, Monica, whose unceasing prayers finally led to her son's conversion from his dissolute youthful ways. Elizabeth of Hungary, who married a German prince, and then, as his widow, spent her life in Christ-like love for the poor and the sick. And they're the faithful women who accompanied Jesus and ministered to his needs. Mary Magdalene and Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha. And the lowly Virgin Mary of Nazareth, whom God chose out of all the women who ever lived to be the human mother of his only begotten Son. All through the long ages of the church's life, there have been these bright and shining lights. But it's not only in those the church calls saints that we see the bright light of Christ and his love. Surely each one of us has in fact known people whose lives shine with that radiance. So let me say this as my personal testimony. As I look back over more than 50 years as a pastor, I'm ashamed of all the ways in which I have failed to fulfill my calling. But I'm also filled with gratitude for countless Christian people who have put up with my shortcomings and surrounded me with their love and affection. It's of course very easy to become cynical about the church when we think about its inadequacies and its failures to embody the love of Christ. But that's a very limited point of view, because there is so much evidence of genuine Christian love among the Christian people. In one of our wonderful hymns, we speak of Christ's love as love to the loveless shown, that they might lovely be. Christ's love for us unlovable sinners. And haven't we all experienced that love as we live with our brothers and sisters in Christ? I certainly have, and am very grateful indeed. You have shown me that kind of love, and I thank you for it. You who are the saints of God here at our Savior Church. Everything depends on Christ's resurrection. Without Easter Day, there would be no All Saints Day. But because Christ is risen and has sent his Holy Spirit to the dying world, there is an ever-increasing number in the communion of saints, Christ's whole church, both in heaven and on earth. From the very beginning of the church's life, Christians have gathered Sunday after Sunday, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, because it is the day of Christ's resurrection, and every Lord's Day, Sunday after Sunday, year after year, have met the risen Lord, truly present in the holy mysteries of his body and his blood. That heavenly feast of love and joy, which is the pledge and foretaste of the marriage supper of the Lamb with all his saints in light. And so, as today we rejoice in the communion of saints and remember our loved ones who once worshipped in this place and are now at rest, I want to conclude with a hymn which was written for the rededication of an ancient church that had been restored. In our day of thanksgiving, one song let us offer for the saints who before us have found their reward. When the shadow of death fell around them, we sorrowed. But now we rejoice that they rest in the Lord. In the morning of life, and at noon, and at evening, he called them away from our worship below. But not till his love at the font and the altar had clothed them with grace for the way they should go. Sing praise then for all who here sought and found him, whose journey is ended, whose perils are past. They believed in the light, and its glory is round them where the clouds of earth's sorrows are lifted at last. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.